Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is Susan Puzio, and we are going to be having a special guest today, Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. So stay tuned. We'll be bringing Phil on in a few minutes. I also want to let you know that we are here every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Prophetic News Radio broadcast, Blog Talk Radio. Also on Monday, we are here on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we have a YouTube video site, and our YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48. So you could go to YouTube and check out our videos. And we have a website, propheticnews.com. There's some great articles there. Oh, it'll keep you busy for a long time if you like to read and do investigating to find out what's going on in the world today. And I know I get so many things that I look at on Facebook and on the Drudge Report, different news stories, things that people post. And this week, somebody had posted a video from a guy who calls himself a pastor. I don't know. I have to use that term loosely where this man is concerned. But anyway, he has a church in, I guess it's South Carolina, and he actually has the nerve to insult people that come there on Sunday. They come there to listen to the pastor insulting them. Oh, dear. He actually told the people that some people were complaining because they didn't like the music. Well, some of the music is weird in some of the churches, very weird. They're supposed to be worshiping God, but it sounds sometimes like you're at a punk rock concert and the music's so loud that you have to cover your ears. So anyway, he said that some people get up and they're walking around during the service and they have to go in the back maybe to get away from the noise. And he told the people, and excuse me, I'll spell out the word, I won't even say it. He told the people that you, S-U-C-K, you, this is how he's talking to the congregation. You S-U-C-K if you don't like the music. Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if I was sitting in that congregation, I think that everybody at that point should have got up from their seat, grabbed their kids, their coats, their hats, their gloves, whatever, their pocketbooks, and ran, hit the door running. I mean, come on, give me a break. There's something wrong with this guy. And there's something wrong with those people that are sitting there in that congregation, that they would actually listen to somebody talking to them like that. Here, I've got his name. His name is Perry Noble. Yep, Perry Noble. So we will make Perry Noble the pimp of the week. We are giving him the coveted pimp of the week award for insulting his congregation. And then he also uses the word, this is a Sunday morning sermon, he also uses the word C-R-A-P during a Sunday morning sermon. Well, I think if you're preaching a sermon in a church, you shouldn't use that word. You should try to use nice words. But anyway, then there was a pastor, Robert Morris, a pastor of the Gateway Church, and I think that church is in Texas. Anyway, Robert Morris tells people that he is going to give them, if they will tithe for 1 year to Gateway Church, and if they don't get any breakthroughs or anything like that in their finances, that he will give them a money-back guarantee. Now, that sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Since, well, in the first place, we can't bribe God. Will a man bribe God? No. So, but Robert is telling the people that they'll be cursed if they don't give their 10%. And now, just imagine that. I can't imagine it for 1 minute. I mean, in all reality, and any clear-thinking Christian individual, that you could imagine that God Almighty himself or any parent would curse their child because they didn't give him 10% of their income. That's just ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. So those are the two I found interesting items in the news today. As far as so-called pastors are concerned, there was also another pastor, I used the term loosely there too, in, I think he's in Jacksonville. And anyway, his Sunday morning sermon, which I wouldn't even call it a sermon, his Sunday morning Broadway production was, he's about a 60-year-old man, and quite overweight, actually. And they put stripper music on. They're playing stripper music on a Sunday morning, and this is the pastor's so-called sermon. And then he starts doing a striptease, taking his coat off and dancing up on the platform. I don't know. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed every day at the things that I'm seeing in what they call church. Oh, dear. I mean, you're better off staying home and talking to your dog than going over and being a part of this such foolishness. What they like to think or say in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to bring on my guest, Phil Armstrong, and I also want you to know that this is a live call-in show, and we have the chat room open. If you have any comments or questions for myself or Phil today, the call-in number is 914-338-1638, and so we'll be taking your calls live today, and I'll bring on my guest, Phil Armstrong. Hi, Phil. Bringing on my guest. Hi, Phil. Let's see. I'm still trying to figure out how to work this new switchboard. So let me see if I can get Phil on here. Hi, Phil. Oh, dear. Okay. We're going to try again. Hi, Phil. Nope. No, Phil. I don't know. Let me see. Just give me a minute here. I'm trying to work this new switchboard. It's a little confusing. Where is my guest? Phil Armstrong, live. Phil, if you're on, just say hi, because I can't get, for some reason it's not bringing him up. So let me see if I can get this switchboard to work, and we'll be bringing Phil on. But it doesn't seem to be working. I have no clue why. So, anyway, while I'm trying to get this switchboard to work, we are having a debt crisis in this country, and what's going on with that? What is going on with the debt crisis? What do you think that's going to mean to the financial markets in this country? I don't know. Anyway, I'm still trying to get this. Still trying to get Phil up here. I don't know what's happening with the switchboard, but it doesn't want to bring him up. Phil, if you're listening, maybe you should hang up and try to call in again. For some reason, it doesn't want to bring you up. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Susan.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
I finally
got
I had to. I had a mic hooked up to the computer, and
it wasn't working. Yeah,
I think it's so many. It's a couple of switches on the mic.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're here, because I was thinking, what is wrong with this switchboard?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad you're on, and we also do have a caller on the line. So we'll be getting to the caller. Just hold on for a few minutes, caller, and we'll be taking your call. It looks like the 209 area code. So we'll be taking your call in about 2 minutes. Phil, I wanted to ask you, what would you like to discuss today? What is on your heart?
Well, it's a busy world. There's a lot of things going on. It seems to be conversion. A lot of things seem to be conversion, you know, seem to be conversion on it seems to me, especially in the debt crisis, everything seems to be conversion on a certain point. Now, I don't know what time it is, but in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see some things transpire, and not because I'm predicting any special event or anything like that. I'm just saying, as far as it can even go on longer than it's been, you know, it can go on for another year or two. But I think it's more, for me, it's exhaustion of politicians that come on
play
and they get elected every 4 years. And it seems to be the same politics.
Yeah.
We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for the Congress. We need to pray for our leaders. You're telling me the only thing you can actually do is go to Congress and either raise or lower taxes, either create a stimulus package or not create a stimulus package. You're telling me that the only thing you can do is actually address the nation. These are things that presidents do. Of course, this one does. It hasn't changed. Does politics allow or disallow someone to, what I mean by politics is the status quo, does not allow you to go outside of the status quo. And you have a lot of politicians who run on the premise that I'm outside of Washington. I don't belong to Washington, you know, and as if that's supposed to change anything. And they end up doing the same exact thing.
They end up doing the same thing in partisan politics instead of looking out for the interest of the people.
Yeah, now what does this have to do with the end times? To me, it seems as if Capitol Hill, and I can't speak for, you know, my environment and where I've been for the last 20 years, but it seems like to me Capitol Hill has every organization has its cliques, but it seems to me that Capitol Hill is more of a environment that is encompassed by cliques and individuals who live in their bubbles. And as long as I get a retirement, I'm fine. As long as I get my pricks from these corporations that I'm lobbying for, I'm fine. I mean, good to go. So I guess I could have said it quicker by saying Capitol Hill is a selfish environment. It is a selfish environment. It is not God-fearing. And there's a few Christians up there, but for the most part, everybody's up there for themselves.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, and then, and of course I believe in secret societies. People say, well, you believe in conspiracy. You're a conspiracy freak. Well, to kill Jesus, it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So for me to believe that there is a conspiracy is not the conspiracy. You know, for me to believe that there's a conspiracy is probably true. You know, I can
fire the voice. There's a lot going on that we can't see. I mean, obviously, because it's a show, and it is. There's some great actors in the production, and there's a lot of acting going on, and not too much being accomplished. But anyway, let's take this caller, Phil, and see what the caller has to say.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, I can get this caller on.
I want to make sure it's not me, because I might have not hung up yet.
Is that you from 209?
I don't think so. It should
Hello?
Be.
Hello, yeah, caller?
Yes.
Yes, hi.
You
have a question or a comment?
I love live radio. It reminds me of live television from the 50s. You know, you never know what might happen, and so.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm amongst friends here. I've been studying the tithing doctrine for a number of years, and I've got lots to say on it and don't know where to begin. But since I want to stay current with the topic and with your guest, I was going to be your substitute guest, but now that you found the guest, I guess I should come up with something.
we could talk a little bit about the tithing doctrine, because I think it does pertain. It really does pertain to. It's kind of a parallel of the selfishness that we just talked about in government, where it's all about me, and it's the same thing with the pastor in the church. It's not about the congregation or the unsaved people out there. It's just it becomes all about me.
Yeah.
And in your studies of the tithing doctrine, then give us a short oversight of what you found out.
Okay. Well, you know, Jesus taught us to serve. He says the greatest amongst you will be the servant of all.
Yes.
And people who are servants don't normally present a bill to those who are they are serving.
That's a good way to put it.
But they do rely upon those whom they are serving to, at their will and at their whim, give them something. You know, I mean, I'm thinking of slaves in the classic sense. I mean, they survived on what was given them. But that's the thing about being a servant is you really do rely upon others to give. I mean, that's my idea of what a servant would be. And tithing is somewhat different. It's really looking for equality for those who got no portion of the land, and so they actually got the best part of the deal because God was offering himself to them. And the Levites got him. I think it is in the prophets where it says as much as that God gave himself to them, and they didn't want it. They wanted something more tangible, so they got the land. And that's how I would, you know, be topical with the guest is about the politicians in Washington generally are looking out for number one, and the politicians in the church are kind of following the same pattern.
Yes.
That is looking out for their own interests and not the interests of the congregation.
Yes.
Now, talking about what I've found in my studies on tithing, there are several prophecies in the Bible on what we are seeing today. This is not something that has taken God by surprise. It's not as though God is saying that, I didn't really mean for them to use the tithing doctrine in that way. This is not taking God by surprise. And there's actually several prophecies in the Bible dealing with what we are seeing today. And I would say, really, to find out about what's going on, you would look to Paul the Apostle, who warned us of wolves.
Yes.
And if you look up the Old Testament, it's in the prophet Ezekiel that tells us about what wolves are after. And the number one thing that wolves are after is money.
Yes.
So if these wolves are to be found in the church and they're after money, my question is to the wolves, what do you feel about tithing? And a wolf would not answer, well, I feel that was abrogated by the New Testament and is no longer applicable today. A wolf's position on tithing would be absolutely, you better give it or else.
Yeah, or else.
That yes, would be their position.
Yes.
And there's a companion verse to this. Another thing about wolves is that they advocate violence. It will eventually go to violence with a wolf. Because that's where it mentions the blood. It says that they shed blood. And really at the tithing, if you're to look at tithing, if you looked at Caiaphas sat atop the tithing pyramid, and there was blood on his hands. And the blood that was on his hands as the chief Levite was the blood of Christ himself.
Yes. Well, we'll be doing more programs in the future. We've already done a few programs on tithing, and we will be doing a few more programs. So I want to thank you for calling in today. And,
sure. I've got several books, and they're all written in my head, and I'd like to go through some of the titles with you at some time. But
well,
in the future, things are going very slow.
In the next few weeks, I'll tell you what, we'll have a a program on tithing and look for it on my show page. And I would love to call in again, and we will give it a whole hour to talk about it, okay?
Okay, well, thank you, Susan, and I just want to say keep up the good fight with what you're doing, and
thank you.
I believe you're going to be joined by many.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Thank you for calling in and taking your time. And be looking out for that program. We will do another whole hour on the tithing doctrine. It'll be interesting. So God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Phil. So
I wanted to comment on something he had said. And it is in, I think it was in Jeremiah, about the one thing that that the Old Testament prophets wanted to do is shed blood. And I just want to iterate on the day's version of shedding blood is the doctrine. God had put a focus on and an emphasis on doctrine, the correct doctrine. When you alter, when you're greedy for money, first of all, you had to have a reason to get that way. So that means your doctrine was messed up. So
yeah.
In today's modern way of shedding blood, you come up with your own fantasies of what another gospel, and you get your congregation to believe that gospel. And easily put, if the congregation goes after that doctrine and says it's true, then it's pretty much shedding of blood, because you're going to, somebody's blood is going to be required for you to go to heaven. It is either going to be Jesus' blood, or it's going to be your blood going, and you're going to be burning in the lake of fire. So,
yeah.
If a pastor gives you the wrong doctrine, or if a pastor leads you down the wrong path, he's leading you over the cliffs of hell. So that's what it means to shed blood in modern day. You're just getting the wrong doctrine. You're greedy for gain. You're greedy for, you want to fleece the flock. So you give them the wrong gospel. And if you listen to a lot of TBN and some of these, I was listening to Vern. I told you about Jordan. What's his name? Prophetess Jordan.
Oh, please.
I mean, I was listening to him. I had a friend listen to it because I got to go record. I had to record it because it was just ridiculous. We were sitting down there, and my buddy was just he was just tickled pink with some of the stuff that they were saying, because he had Carlton Pearson on there.
Oh, really?
And you know how he is. And check this out. Check this out, Susan. They were all around the table talking, right?
Yeah.
And Prophetess Jordan was saying something about God. He was saying, God, something, she doesn't care what you... He called her a she, actually. And I forgot what he actually said. He called God a she. Now, if that's not a parameter of how far this guy is off, and how far... Martin Pearson and everybody else that was on their little bitty platform is pretty much off. So they are shedding blood. I mean, eventually, that's what they're doing. They're fleecing the flock. They're destroying individuals because these people are going after their doctrine.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to just talk a little bit about getting back to the debt crisis, but we're not to pick.
Yeah. So what do you think it's all about, this whole debt crisis?
Well, the United States, and I hate beating a dead horse, but people have to hear this. Unfortunately, we kill more babies than the Old Testament can even come close to. We sell more pornography. We look at more pornography. Look at our sitcoms. Our sitcoms. The Bible says that the eye is the floodgate of life.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you, whatever coming in your eye, and whatever you're seeing and taking in, that's what you are. So the culture is deprived and depraved. That's where we are. I was listening to a radio program yesterday, and they were talking about what the church, why is the church numbers, why are the attendance of church down? And I thought the guest on the show was going to say, he's going to come up with something to do with sin, but most of the things that he came up with is what we were watching, which is like he was saying one of the people that was the number one reason was T.D. Jakes and his form of preaching, and then another person he was saying the reason why attendance was down is because of Osteen. Now he commended television for a good, you know, for somebody who, you know, was in a wheelchair or couldn't get to church, that was fine.
Yeah.
But what he was saying is a lot of the preachers on television, including Rick Warren, and, you know, they have the books in the bookstore, these guys are bringing in heresies, which, and they're also selling the social gospel simultaneously. And he's also saying follow the music. When you start having music in your church that involves rock and rap and all these things, those things start to affect. And we all know that. These things start to affect. If you're a true believer, if you're a true person who is trying to learn why things are happening, you know, people are departing from the faith. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people believe that seducing spirits can be doctrine, you know, a funny sounding doctrine or something like that. But the Bible spoke a lot in Proverbs about being lazy.
Yeah.
And it also talked about, look at the ants.
Right.
You know, so another gospel, this is what me and my buddy were talking about, brother in Christ was talking about yesterday. To depart from the faith, you do not need to depart from a faith because a witch came up to you and said, you want to be a witch? Or some, you know, preacher said, now we must be saved if you drink this bottle of honey, you know, something like that. That's not, you can lose your salvation just for the seducing spirit to say, okay, it's time to go to the beach. Or it's time, let's go to the football game. You're going to miss the football game if you go to church. Or if you don't, seducing spirits do not have to be seducing in doctrine. It can be seducing in just flat-out flesh when you're lazy and you just don't want to do what God wants you to do. And God, he particularly is supposed to be both Lord and Savior. So if we're not doing what Jesus said in that word, and a lot of us are lazy and we don't even want to pick up the word of God.
Yeah.
So the flesh is lazy.
Yeah.
And if the flesh is not tamed, he says, what did Paul say? He says, I bring my body under subjection. He said, well, if it's Christ is doing all the work, why would Paul have to bring his body under subjection? It's because we are to be submitted to God, and he's bringing his body under subjection to the submission of God.
Uh-huh.
So if we stand, what did the Bible say about a horse? It said, don't be like the horse who has to be, you know, tamed. You want to be submissive to God. So that's what Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. So getting back to the laziness of the church, you have to see what these preachers have done is that they have taken heaven and hell and isolated the two. Let's talk about heaven, that's fine, but hell does not exist. They have isolated those two. So they have also isolated what we should think about God, him, the person of God. So if they can do that and get us to think that God is this or that or some weak person, or even, like I said earlier, she or a female, or if they can break your that's why they keep you, that's why the demons want to keep you, that's why the devil wants to keep you away from the Bible, because it's truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you start reading the Bible, Susan, you're going to be aware of how you're supposed to walk and talk and act, and then you're going to do the right thing. So what these what the show I was listening to yesterday was saying was that these pastors that are on the rise today, or already risen today, or whatever, they are leading their flock astray by bringing in heresies, the doctrines that does not exist. In Galatians chapter 1, it says if someone preaches another doctrine, they are accursed.
Yeah.
So the end time, I mean, it's a lot of things, Susan. Also, there are people who are very much interested in Bible prophecy. And for anybody listening to my show, The Prophecy Zone, I'm going to tell you, do not fall in love with prophecy. Fall in love with Jesus first, and then you can fall in love with prophecy. But what God does is, in Matthew 25, he talks about ten versions, five had oil, five didn't. There's a preparational state. There's a preparation that we have to enter into. It should be a life thing. It should always be. You should always be ready. You should always be close to the Lord. You should always be walking. But we know how life is. We got distractions. But we need to have a alertness that Christ can come back at any moment. That way we will not fall into these traps, because we would obey what God said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, when he says he warned us about these seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We would be prepared. We would be on the watch. We would be looking. We would be making sure. We would be preparing ourselves. See, there's a big movement to say that there is no rapture of the church. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a response from the chat room without even looking at the screen. There is no rapture of the church. Without a rapture, there is no imminency, and there's no sustained preparation. Because if you see the Antichrist rise up, if you see the Antichrist rise up, and if you see the false prophet calling fire from the sky, and you see the mark of the beast, and you see all these things, you're going to eventually know the day and hour, at least close to it, because the tribulation period would have ran out of seven years. So there is no preparation. But getting to the people, see, and then people look at the people who believe in the rapture as the wrong ones, the ones who are looking for escape mechanism. If my house was burning up, Susan, I would want to get out of my house. I don't want to stay in and show somebody how brave I am. You know, if I get into a car wreck, me and my wife get into a car wreck, or me and my family, or me and some of my friend get into a car wreck, I'm not going to say, get out the car. You know, he's saying, get out the car, Phil. Get out the car. The car is going to blow up in a couple of seconds. You got to get out the car. I want to show you how tough I am. You know, hey, I'm going to tell you in a minute. I'm looking for escape mechanism, and it's called the rapture of the church. Now, to sum what I'm saying up is to be ready. If I know a football game, the Lions, they're going to the NFL next week. They're going to start playing. The first game is sometime in September. If the lockout continues and someone knocks on the door, the RV football player says, yo, you got 30 minutes to come out here and play this football game, nobody's going to be prepared. So they have a thing that is called a schedule. And each team is prepared to play 16. They didn't change the schedule, so it's still 16 games.
Uh-huh.
Each team is prepared to play 16 games. And then when you go to the playoffs and then the Super Bowl, you know exactly when the Super Bowl is going to take place. But as a child of God, there should be a alertness and an imminency inside of you that makes you go out and witness, that makes you go out and start radio programs, that makes you go out and do YouTube videos, that make you go out and pass out tracts or give to the homeless or send to a ministry that needs it, that's not fleecing the flock. It makes you want to do those things, because if you know that the Antichrist has got to show up first, and then the Mark of the Beast has got to show up second, and then 144,000 and the two witnesses have to be killed on the street, and then they have to send emails all over to gifts to everybody and say, hey, the two witnesses are dead, and the two witnesses have to get up, and then all of a sudden meteorites have to fly and, you know, hit the ground and all these things, you're going to know. So if it's a time, if there is a pre-trib rapture, speaking to say it as if I'm questioning it, but I'm not. If there is a pre-trib rapture, and you have no idea when this is going to happen, you're going to always say, "Oh, I got to be ready. I got to be ready." See, the church today is not preaching about Bible prophecy at all. The church I go to does not, you say, why you go to it? Don't even ask me. I have no idea. The church that I go to are not telling people. I went up to the pastor today and said, you might want to start talking about, I didn't say all this, but you might want to start talking about Bible prophecy. This church is huge. So the Holy Spirit is like, go talk to him. Go tell him.
Yeah.
Start talking to him, focusing in on Bible prophecy. I didn't say when. I did say in the near future there's going to be some things that's going to take place. So you need to start, you know. I ain't say it like that because I respect my pastor. But we need to have an urgency to warn our families. We need to have an urgency to listen to the prompting of the Spirit and stop looking for the Antichrist. Stop looking for the mark of the beast. Stop looking for all of these things. What you could do, though, is to watch by current events, looking at Israel, looking at the morality of America, looking at the economy, and seeing things from a God perspective. What did he say would have to happen? What are the warning signs that the Antichrist is coming? What are the warning signs that the world government is coming? We look at all of those things, that's fine. But don't look at for the Antichrist as if it absorbs you. I want to know, who is it? Juan Carlos? Is it Barack Obama? Is it Elvis Tupac Shakur? I don't know who it is. You might not even know who it is if you make it out of here. But I guarantee you, if there is a rapture, you're going to find out who it is, because if you keep looking for the Antichrist, he might leave you behind. So, but let me sort of say a few more things as far as what's going on. Now, with all of that being said, kind of put that to the side, I'm going to say some strange stuff that's going to make people like, what are you talking about? There's a comment headed this way, and Chris Week did a show on it called Planet X. There is a comet headed this way, and it's scheduled to enter our stratosphere on August 3rd, so it will be seen by the telescopes. Sometime in September, it will be seen by the naked eye.
Okay.
This thing, they don't know the size of it. Some people are saying it's three moons. Some people are saying it's three planet Earths. But this thing is supposed to be a comet. Now, it's headed for our solar system, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be visible to the naked eye sometime in the middle of September. Now look at this date, September 11th, 2011.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be doing something. Now you can go check all this stuff out that I'm saying. You can go to NASA website, or you can just put in the satellite, the comet is called Elenine. Now stay with me here. the Bible says in Luke 21 that there should be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars on earth,
yeah.
distress of nation with perplexity, the seas roaring. I'm not reading, I'm just saying it verbatim. The seas roaring. The seas and the waves are roaring. Okay, this is hurricane season also. Now,
yes,
what they're
yeah.
saying that could have happened, and I think it did because I already went on to a computer program module online and seen the alignments of these planets, is on March 11, 2011, was a Japanese earthquake. I think that's the date, 2015. But anyway, the thing lined up. And what happened is the comet lined up with Earth and I think Mars or Mercury, and
yeah.
the earthquake happened. So imagine if this thing moves like 20, it's supposed to be at its closest in October 16, 21 million miles from the Earth. But in the middle of September, it's going to be like the same distance from the moon. So if this thing is big as they say it is, and it caused that much havoc, it caused that much problems being that far away because it was not in our solar system at the time of the Japanese earthquake. And this thing is dating way back to September when an astronomer, and it's just like Deep Impact. Anybody out there, go look at Deep Impact. Deep Impact is some stuff. Well, anyway, Deep Impact is the same thing. We got a black president. I mean, it's creepy. But anyway, here's the parallel with the Bible. The Bible says that there's going to come a time when God himself should send the world a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie.
Yeah.
And I'm not choosing any days. I'm not picking a day. I'm just trying to tell you, this is my belief. Just because it's my belief don't mean I'm picking a day. Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, is the next feast. Now, Jesus fulfilled four feasts when he first got here. Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruit, and Pentecost. Pentecost ended the church. Began the church. And 2,000 years later, the Feast of Trumpets will end the church age. So that's why Paul said in Corinthians chapter 15, I think it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "For we should not all seek, so we should be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible." That's what it's talking about, the Feast of Trumpets. It says, "No man knows the day and the hour." Yeah, you don't. That's what the festival is called, the festival that no man knows the day and hour. It's a two-day event. You don't know the day and hour, but you know when
yeah.
he's at the door. So if
yeah.
it's a two-day event, my mom, right now it's 10:47. And here in Spokane, Washington, where you at, Susan? It's 1:40. It's what is it?
Right.
1:08. Yeah. So
yeah.
You're now tonight at 9 o'clock. It's going to be another day for Susan. No one knows the day and hour. And if I was to say I knew the day and hour, I would be selfish because my day and hour is not the same as somebody in Israel's day and hour. And that's God's
yeah.
people, and that's God's time clock. So if I'm saying I know the day and hour, I don't. You don't. And see, the Harold Camping things threw all this stuff off. The generation is a 70-year generation. Psalms 90. If you read Psalms 90, he says 70. He says 61, a 61.5 a score, which is 20, 20, 20, which is 60, and one more, which is 70. So he's saying a 70-year generation, and if you live to be healthy enough, you will make it for another.
Yeah.
So, 1948, and I'm not picking a day, please. 1948 to 2018 is 70 years. He says the generation will not pass. Now, think about this. He rode on a donkey in Jerusalem the same time the prophets said, the exact day. He was born, there was a star in the sky. The wise men saw the sky, the star, and they followed it. How do they know that? Because there's coming a time, just in the near future, when people will say, if you read, I think it's Zephaniah chapter 2, and I'll read that. I'll read that for you. This show went kind of quick when I started running my mouth. I turned around, looked at the clock, and said, "Oh shoot! I didn't know it was that late." But anyway, I'm gonna read this
yeah.
Zephaniah.
Okay, it's interesting.
I just saw Zephaniah. Well, anyway, it's a good piece of scripture because it sort of points to a pre-trib rapture. Zephaniah. I'm sorry, that was Zephaniah. I'm on Zechariah. I got to figure out which way to go. Oh, here it is. Okay, it says in Zephaniah chapter 2, it says, "Gather yourselves together, ye gather together, O nation not desire." Now, that's the Gentiles, nation not desire. "Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord God comes upon you, before the day of the Lord anger comes upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which hath wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of his anger." And if you read Revelation chapter 3, he's talking to the church of Philadelphia. He says, "I shall keep you out of the time of testing." That's why you can't find the word church anymore and in the rest of the gospel, the rest of the revelations. And the thing is, here's the deal. A lot of people who believe in the pre-trib rapture, this I know it's correct. We get so much. I don't go after anybody. I don't go in nobody's chat room. I don't beat anybody upside the head because they're post-tribber or mid-tribber. I noticed the thing about people who are pre-trib rapture, they don't go after anybody. They just stay new. They stay where they at. They keep to what they believe. I read the Bible for myself. I don't have anybody telling me. My pastor, how is it that we don't have, nobody's talking about Bible prophecy in any of the churches I've been to? Yeah, and I have hopped some churches. We were trying to shop around for church. Nobody talks about Bible prophecy. I was at Potter's House of Christian Fellowship Church in Hawaii a couple of years ago, 12 years ago, they didn't talk about Bible prophecy. We had to watch movies on Thanksgiving to tell us about Bible prophecy. When I was in Oklahoma, they did not talk about Bible prophecy at all.
Yeah.
Today, they don't talk about it. All the churches I've been to before.
Well, it's not. It's negative, you know.
Yeah, it's negative. So for somebody to say, "Well, you got that from some writer or Hal Lindsey or something," I cannot find the church. The word church is mentioned in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Revelations 19 times. And then he says to the church of Philadelphia, "I will keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole earth." Then when the tribulation period starts in chapter 6, the word church is not mentioned anymore until, chapter 19 or 20. So, and then they come up and say, "The saints, it's the saints." Well, why does he say he's going to frustrate the saints? The saints, the word saint, the definition of the word saint is set apart ones. So you're telling me that Moses was belonging to the church? He was set apart. So he's considered set apart. So the saints, when the Antichrist is frustrating the saints, that is new born again. That's new people who are born again in the tribulation period. That's what that is. The elect is normally Israel, and it's also people who are born again. So when he says, and I think it's Thessalonians, but it's not in the same chapters, it's not about the rapture, it's not about the tribulation period, but he says he has not appointed us for wrath. What wrath is he talking about? He's not talking about hell, because hell is individual punishment. He says he has not appointed us to wrath. That's a corporate punishment. That means that it's a triple. That means it's on the earth. That means us. Now, individuals are appointed for hell. The human beings are appointed. Countries are judged here on earth. But the result of being a part of a country that is in disobedience to God is an individual punishment to hell. So when Paul is saying he has not appointed us to wrath, he's talking about the tribulation period, a future period where there's going to be tribulation. Now, Yeah, every human being, every Christian has had tribulation. Jesus said that you will have tribulation. I mean,
yeah.
when the cat dies, the car breaks down, the spouse passed away, or the baby, something happened to the baby gets sick. Yeah, we will have tribulation. But for someone to argue the point, he said we were going to have tribulation, so that's the tribulation. I mean, like, for instance, Hank Henneran, or whatever it is. I always say his name wrong. I don't know why. This guy speaks in term. He's cool. He's all right. But he uses vocabulary I do not use. I mean, you have to go look up every word he says. And to me, that's a way of showing how smart you are.
Yeah,
but anyway,
exactly. It's like a doctor. When you go to the doctor, they use these big words because they want you to think that they, instead of using a plain word that you can understand, they want you to think that they're like a godlike figure.
Yeah.
So you can understand what's wrong with you only if you ask the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm glad to have come on your show. You caught me at the right time because I'm in a position right now of doing a lot of soul searching as far as the end times and my environment that I'm around. But
there's a lot going on. I mean, I think it would be interesting to see what's going to happen with this whole debt crisis. I'm sure they'll resolve it because it's a political issue and there's elections coming up, so they'll think of something. I don't know when the whole house of cards is going to collapse, but
I'm thinking that September can be an interesting time that we live in. I'm not making any predictions, but the more and more I look at the Middle East, it seems like we are headed for something. And also, when we do these shows, I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm not here to be liked. That's my nature. I'm not gonna ridicule anybody or say anything on purpose. You know, I noticed that there's a lot of division among Blog Talk Radio Christians. To me, I really don't bother anybody. I don't go, if I go into your chat room, my purpose is not to be negative. I'm not talking about everybody, all the hosts out there. My belief is that the Bible talked about unity, edifying of the saints. There's a specific people who come on to people's chat rooms, and they just come to cause division, and they don't think God is watching. I was listening to the brother, Now the End Begins, Jeffrey, and his guests. I'll make this real quick because I was just looking at the time. But they were getting harassed by this person. For some reason, Blog Talk wouldn't let them erase the threads. And I think somebody from Blog Talk was messing around with them, honestly. But the threads were just disgusting.
Yeah.
But when Christians come on and just always divisive, I can name some people right now, couple of them in the chat room, at least one of them, where they're always negative. And I'm like, why are you even in the chat room? I'm sorry I had to end it like that, but it's just, to me, it's just kind of weird. I mean,
I think it's a way for people to get their opinions out. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me as long as there's no profanity or anything.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to voice their opinion, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Seeing what they have to say, because I think that my opinions and my doctrines have changed over the years with the help of some of God's good people and God's wonderful Holy Spirit. So, whatever. People have their comments. I get all kinds of crazy comments on YouTube. I leave them up except ones that, like I said, the ones with profanity. And if they're threatening me in any way, I just take them down. But I let them say what they want to say.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show, though.
Phil, you're always a great guest. And tomorrow night, what time is your program tomorrow night?
It's going to be at 6. 6 o'clock.
Okay.
9 o'clock yours.
And then we're having a round table? Are you having something like
that? No, not necessarily. I'm just going to have a few guests.
Okay. So tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, that's Pacific time.
Yep.
9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio. And then you've also got a website and a YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's www.pzrn.org. And also, that's also www.prophecyzoneradionews.com.
Okay. And Facebook, you're open for anybody to come onto your Facebook page.
Yeah, it is. I just asked to join. It's Prophecy Zone. It's a couple of them, though. You have to find the right one. It's kind of, I kind of wish I would have never did that, but Prophecy Zone is a group. It's not the page. It's just a group.
Yeah.
You got like 100 members.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, and there's just so much to talk about. We didn't even scratch the surface yet, but we'll be doing more programs in the future. And I want to thank you so much. Thanks, Phil. And I want to thank everybody for listening today and everybody that came into the chat room and had made comments. Thank you very much for stopping by. And we want to let you know that Jesus Christ loves you. He is a Savior. He is a Redeemer. And He wants you to know Him. He wants to give you a new life. And I know one of the best ways to get to know Jesus is to ask Him to come into your life, ask Him to forgive you of your sins, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, He can forgive you and give you a brand new life, a life of hope and peace and joy. And that no matter what we see coming on the earth, that we know that Jesus Christ will see us through. So we want to ask you to give your life to Jesus today. He really does love you more than any human being can ever love you. He gives you unconditional love and acceptance. So that's the reason we do these programs, really, is to inform people, but also to let them know about the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Jesus said you must be born again, and you must be born first of your mother and then born of the Spirit of God. And it is a real experience. It is real. And you will change. You will be different. And open your Bible today and start reading the Bible and let that Word of God wash you clean and renew your mind with the Word of God. So this is Susan Puzio, and I want to thank you again for dropping by, and be blessed today. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And it's set on a hill. And some I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.